The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And all the bumper music you will hear for the rest of the show, all local bands. Jong will be tweeting out the name of the song and the bands. And if you want to get in, you know the number. If you missed the first hour, pretty much all over the place. Pretty random. It's a Tuesday.
That's how we roll.
It's Christmas week. We're just having fun and rolling with whatever comes up. Santos says, tuning in and love the random topics. About to start my 5 days of drinking and a good way to get it going. Hashtag no stress. Yeah, there's really no stress here. We're just having fun today. Not too much serious going on. I mean, we could talk about have the Rockets turned it around. We could do that. But just whatever you guys want to get to. We did a little bit of that. We did a little bit of Texans. We did a little bit of Jeremy Lin's hair. We did a little bit of the dead whale. Just pretty much everywhere. Did a little bit of AJ being a dickweed as a driver. And, yeah.
Not great with that.
Texter says, I think all the injuries have been from a lack of practice where the offensive linemen are unable to protect their guys. I think anything, we should be shaving down the season and adding more bye weeks. What are your thoughts? There's no way they're shaving down the season. There's too much money.
Yeah, that's not happening.
That's a 0% chance that will ever happen. And I agree that in almost every sports league, the season is too long. I think the basketball season is too long.
Baseball is way too long.
And realistically, I think the NFL was at its best with 14 games, but they're never going back because that's money you're throwing away, especially with these TV deals. So while in principle, I probably agree with you, in reality, it's never happening. Here's one for you. What are y'all looking more forward to watching? The final season of Banshee or Game of Thrones? Both.
I'm really, really pumped about both. I'm going to go, I think I'm going to go with Banshee. I mean, it's the last season. They're going to do something good.
Yeah. And you know, it'll be off the charts. Every one of those are. And one thing about Banshee, there were a couple of Game of Thrones last year that dragged a little bit. And I'm guessing we'll have a couple this year. There wasn't a single Banshee that dragged.
No. That show can't drag.
No, it moves too fast.
Too much sex and violence.
Yeah.
It's impossible to drag. Because they're like, oh, it's slowing down a little bit. Let's show someone get murdered violently.
Whatever people ask me, hey, what's that show about? I goes, well, it's a master thief who pretends to be a sheriff. There's a cross-dressing computer hacker and an Amish mob boss. Lots of sex, lots of violence.
An Amish mob boss who has an awkward semi-sexual relationship with his super hot niece.
Yeah.
Who's also had a sexual relationship with the fake sheriff.
Yeah. Pretty much. That's what it's about.
Uh-oh.
Whoops. Tell the guy in front of me to stop blocking the employee parking exit. He's listening to y'all. Thanks. Well, if he's listening to us, he can pretty much do whatever he wants. That's
true.
It's a Blitzer thing. Somebody asked how my 12K went. Went really well. I survived. I ran the whole way. I'm actually ready for a half marathon now. I'm pronouncing myself ready to go. I think I could do one this week if I had to. That's how well it went. Wasn't fast, but I was, honestly, I felt like I could have run another hour and a half easy.
Good for you.
So I think I've turned a corner finally, which is good. Although maybe somebody who, real runners who know what they're doing, can explain to me why it is that I struggle so much running 5Ks now, but the longer I go, the more comfortable I am and the better I run.
Okay.
It's really strange. I don't know what's causing that. But if you guys who know stuff, just send me an email or something to explain to me why I'm so stupid. A lot of people asking what you thought about Star Wars. That's all on Podcast Arena. AJ's review is there.
My review is there with no spoilers. No, I didn't give any spoilers, did I, guys?
No.
I don't feel like I gave anything away that you're going to like be angry about. I just gave my opinions on what I saw.
And that's not easy to do but at this point, if something gets spoiled,
somebody was mad because I said the bad guy was weak. Like that's a spoiler. No, that's not a spoiler.
That's just an opinion. 713-780-ESPN. Jay said, as a writer, he thinks I'll like that he's very nuanced, but does come off as a little whiny. I don't like whiny heroes or villains, either one. Heroes more than villains.
Yeah.
I can deal with. I want my villains to be like Darth Vader. I want my villains to be just total badasses that have one character flaw that gets them beat.
Yeah.
That's how I like my villains. 713-780-ESPN. It's a K-Mac says, I watched all three seasons of Banshee in a week and then got depressed because I had to wait for the new season to start.
It's terrible.
Yeah, that's the only negative to binge watching is like once you get caught up and then you have to sit and wait for the next season or wait for the next episode.
Yeah.
That is the worst. Because when you commit to binge watching, I think you actually get more into the series. It's like it happened to me with Orphan Black. We watched all three seasons and now we got to wait another year before it comes out again. And it's like, right when I'm into it. Because I think when you invest that much time into it back to back, you really get into it more. I've become a big fan of binge watching. I've got to pick something out to do that with again. 713-780-ESPN. Let's try Melvin. Melvin, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
I'm just wanting to comment on watching the game last night and then seeing Yates go out, and then this not last night, but on Sunday, and seeing this Brandon Weeden come in. I was like, okay, I never heard of him. You know, I watch football, but I just never heard of him. And then after the game is over, here I am YouTubing, and I see nothing good about this guy. I mean, he's been throwing interceptions left and right from college all the way up to the pros. Nothing good on YouTube, so... I mean, you know, I'm a bandwagon rider, and I'm going to stay with the Texans, but I don't see us going too far. I just wanted to comment on that.
Well, listen, I mean, nobody should. Brandon Weeden's not a good player.
Obviously didn't pay attention to the Cowboys the first half of the season.
YouTube didn't lie to you.
Yeah.
Listen, the Cleveland Browns spent a first-round pick on him, and then we're like, nah, you're not good enough to be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. That's not an easy, we've seen a lot of guys do it, but it's not easy to do. If you're bad enough that the Browns will spend a first-round pick on you and then send you packing – you're pretty bad. Brandon Weeden falls into that category.
No, you're just one of several.
Right.
Brady Quinn.
There's a lot of those guys, but it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, you have to be a spectacular style of bad. Because how many of those Browns quarterbacks have gone somewhere else and thrived? None. Derek Anderson did for 1 year.
Yeah, basically, that's it.
I mean, it's very difficult. Listen, the Texans, you should cheer for them. Be happy for them. But... like you're doing, temper your expectations. Do not think that this team has a chance to do anything in the playoffs. If they win a game, hey, that's awesome. That's awesome if they do. If they don't, it doesn't matter because they weren't going to win two games anyway. They're not a good football team.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the problem. Like whoever comes out of the NFC East, sure, they won their division. They're not a good football team.
But you know what? You'd rather win the division, even if it's a crappy year and everybody else sucks. You'd rather win the division and at least get to the playoffs, and people will be excited. You know who I think about?
Get some playoff experience, too. Yeah,
which some of these guys need. But I look at this a little differently. I think all my friends who own bars, they get another week's worth of people showing up and spending money.
That's true.
So it's a good thing. But yeah, Brandon Weeden's garbage. We know that. But that's what they have, and there's just not – it's not like if you're on your fourth quarterback for the second year in a row, you can't exactly go out and find somebody at this stage of the season. So for them to have him is actually probably better off than a lot of teams would be on their fourth quarterback. It's not saying he's any good, but the good news is the Titans are going to try to tank. There is no way. I think the Texans are going to win that game because even with Brandon Weeden, I mean, Tennessee has the number one pick right now.
Yeah.
And if they win that game, suddenly, they could have six or seven.
Yeah.
Now, if I had the number one pick and I'm the Tennessee Titans, think about all the options you have. I mean, you can trade that for two or three, get more picks for some team that's desperate for Paxton Lynch, Joey Bosa to your defense,
right?
Laremy Tunstall. I mean, there's all kinds of guys that can really help your team. Why would you screw that up by winning?
The Titans need an offensive lineman. Yeah, I mean, that's their...
yeah, and so if you're picking one, don't you take Tunstall?
Probably so.
I mean, Ike, he's...
I mean, you've got a lot of options. I mean, you like you said, you could possibly trade down a little bit, but if you're...
Well, you could trade down to, say, 10 and still take a guy like Taylor Decker, but get something else.
Well, and the good thing is there's a couple teams who may, like, Cleveland may want to move up one spot to keep Dallas from jumping up. You know
right.
what I mean? If there's a quarterback that they're in love with. And Tennessee, I mean, listen, all these bad teams could probably use help on the offensive line. But looking at the top 10, I'd argue the Titans are the only one who are in a spot where an offensive lineman is their priority need. You know what I mean?
And I do think this guy has the potential to be a really, really good tackle in the NFL for a long time. I think the bust potential on him is pretty low. So I think him and Bosa both, I think either depending on which direction you want to go, if you want to go defensive end, I think you're going to be getting a really good defensive end for the next 8 to 10 years. And if you go Tunstall, I think you're getting a really good offensive tackle for the next 8 to 10 years. All right, one more call before we go to break. Let's go to Thomas. What's up, Thomas?
What's up, man?
Hey, sports.
Hello.
Good.
Yes, sports to you.
Hello?
Go, man. You're on.
Action.
Okay. I want to talk about Kylo Ren.
Okay.
You call him a whiny villain. He may be, but he's really a bad guy. I mean, a really badass. Can I say that?
You could say badass, yeah.
It just seems he hasn't realized his powers yet. I mean, he's still underdeveloped.
Yeah, I get
that. I mean,
that.
Remember, Darth Vader had to develop also.
Well, I get that. And you kind of see the whole – with Darth Vader, you saw the whole arc where, I mean, he was a Jedi to begin with, and then he went to the dark side, became this just monster, and then came back and was like a sweetheart at the end. By the way, that's a spoiler to Return of the Jedi. I don't know if I ruined that movie for anybody right now, but Darth Vader ends up being a bad guy. Also, Luke's father. Sorry about that. But
damn.
The problem is the way that we were fed Darth Vader, we didn't see Darth Vader grow.
Right.
Like, because the movies came in the order that they did. When Darth Vader was introduced to us, he was this savage monster. Once you establish a character as a puss, it's hard to grow him into a monster. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to take you seriously. Because you're not scary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's why they never show... Jason Voorhees when he's like a little pathetic kid getting bullied around.
Yeah.
Because
well,
who would be scared of that guy?
I don't really need the whole how they became a villain backstory, which has become a big deal with almost all these comic book movies.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever done it better than Batman Begins, so I don't need the backstories anymore. Just throw the badass out there and let him be the guy.
That's it.
Or do something really cool like Banshee where you can't really – everybody's good and bad, and you like them all, and they do stuff where you go, eh, be that. Anyway, Texter says that McClain says Malarkey will want to win the last two to get the job full time. He's not getting the job full time.
No,
he knows
not.
That.
He's not a good coach.
He's gonna follow orders. That's why Mariota's sitting out. All right, let's do Robbie Lawler when we get back.
All right.
It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Joining us now on the program is the undisputed UFC welterweight champion of the whole entire world. And for my money, one of the most exciting guys who steps in the cage, and he'll be doing it again very, very soon. Robbie Lawler joins us on the program. How's it going, Robbie?
I'm doing good.
Well, talk a little bit about this fight because, you know, there was an injury to your thumb. What's going on with that? You guys were supposed to fight in November. How bad was the injury to the thumb, and how far along in the recovery process did it take before you were saying, all right, I can do this fight in January?
My thumb's obviously good now. It was just a little banged up. Lost some strength in it as far as grabbing, and it just took a couple weeks to heal up and gain full strength. So everything's good, and I'm ready to go.
Now, a lot of people may recall your last fight back in July against Rory McDonald at UFC 189. For my money, that should have been the fight of the year, maybe. You had some pretty gnarly damage to your lip. What was the end result there? How many stitches, and how long did that take to heal up?
I don't really know how many stitches I had in my lip, and then it didn't take very long to heal at all, maybe a couple weeks, but I wasn't sparring anyways, and everything was good.
Have you ever had a fight quite like that with Rory? I mean, obviously, when you fight, the goal is to inflict as much damage and take as little as possible. When's the last time you were in a fight like that where it was just back and forth and you guys were just beating the crap out of each other?
Yeah, I've never really been in a fight like that before. It was the first time, and it was a 5-round battle, and just one of those things where two guys were out there looking to get a victory and push each other to the limits.
Is it almost a relief? I mean, it's obviously scary when you see your opponent just kind of like fall and almost like faint. But was it kind of a relief that it ended? And you knew right when he fell down that the fight was over. Was that what was the feeling like there?
It just felt great. It was a hard training camp. That was years of preparation coming together to get that victory. That wasn't one training camp. That was years of battling and grinding out, and I was able to showcase my heart, and so was Rory.
I take it that, you know, Carlos Condit is also known for fights like this, these bloody wars. I take it that that's not your goal, is to not be in a fight like that with Carlos. Is that safe to assume?
Yeah, you never want to go out there and then go back and forth. You want to make these fights one-sided and take as little damage as possible.
Going back to your Strikeforce career, it almost got to the point where, I mean, you were losing a lot more than you were winning back then. There were people who were saying they were keeping you around the promotion because your name had value. You get to the UFC, and the one fight you lost was a really close decision against the champion who you eventually beat. What do you think kind of clicked with your career when you came back to the UFC the second time?
There's a lot of things. Obviously, going down to 170 was huge, but meeting up with my head coach now, Conor Barzini, and him taking me under his wing and showing me the ropes and get me back to where he thought I should be, and I always believed in myself, and I just kept grinding away, and I finally got the coaches around me to help me get there.
When you look at Carlos on film, what kind of holes do you see that you could maybe exploit, or what kind of, as far as a matchup, where do you think some advantages you have maybe?
I don't think Carlos has too many holes at all, if any. He's one of those guys who can do it all. He can strike with every limb possible, and he can finish you. He could submit you. So he's a guy who can do it all. So I have to go out there and I have to be sharp, and I have to make sure that I have to dictate and then take the fight to him.
Robbie Lawler will headline UFC 195 coming up January 2nd at the MGM. Stipe Miocic, Andrei Arlovsky, the co-headliner. Your thoughts on the last pay-per-view, which a lot of people were saying was the biggest pay-per-view in history. I guess particularly your thoughts on what Conor McGregor and Luke Rockhold did.
I spent a lot of time with Luke. Luke did a great job, especially under the circumstances of having that staph infection and being under antibiotics. He was able to get it out and get a victory. And as soon as he got on top, he just took over the fight. It was awesome to see. Luke's been around with me for a lot of time. We've been doing our Adidas stuff, and he's an Adidas combat athlete, so am I. So I was happy for him. And then Connor obviously didn't expect the fight to be that fast. I actually thought Connor was going to win by knockout. I just felt he was the longer, rangier fighter and had power, but I didn't expect it to happen like that. And when it happened, I was stunned because I didn't actually see the punch because Connor's left side was on the other side of the cage, so I didn't see it until the replay. So I was stunned, and it was definitely an awesome fight, and the crowd was very excited.
Well, I expect nothing less out of you and Carlos Condit in January, UFC 195, the headliner, the world champion, Robbie Lawler. He'll be taking on Carlos Condit once again January 2nd on pay-per-view. Appreciate you taking some time for us, Robbie. Merry Christmas to you and yours, and we'll see you January 2nd.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Robbie Lawler.
That's going to be a great fight. Great card, UFC 195, Robbie Lawler. If you haven't seen his fight with Rory McDonald, you have to. You absolutely have to. It was the best fight of the year. That was on the card that was that had Mendez versus McGregor back in July. So that kind of stole the show, obviously. But the best fight on that card by far is Lawler and McDonald. And those two dudes just won it. The moment at the end of the fourth round where the bell rang, and they stopped, but neither one of them went to their corner. They just stood in the middle of the cage staring at each other. I loved it. And then Robbie Lawler continued to punch Rory McDonald until he basically just collapsed in the middle of the cage. It's so great. Such beautiful violence, Fred. If you need something to get you in the Christmas spirit,
that'll do it.
I suggest you go to UFC Fight Pass and watch that fight.
All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Text you. I love when we get these. Do you guys do any show prep at all? I've got about 40 things that we could talk about. But sometimes we just like to roll.
We do show
with
prep
it.
Every day. It's just
sometimes when it we've been so tied to events and news lately, it's kind of fun to just go full on random. I got Matt Schaub and how much he's going to make for his two games with the Ravens.
Yeah,
we could talk about that.
This stuff seems boring. I always have a bunch of stuff like
UT's not interested in Kyler Murray. We can talk about that.
I do a bunch of sportsy prep and then I look at it and I'm like, I feel like the show will be more fun if we just talk about random crap.
Well, every now and then, it's fun to do. So, anyway.
We should just say no, we don't do any prep, and let them think that this is just what the show is.
Yeah. Sometimes it's better.
Yeah. We don't do any prep.
Yeah, none whatsoever. We just show up.
Yeah. We're winging it. All right, guys. Got to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter. If you're hosting a holiday party, if you're a boss, and it's generous of you to host a holiday party, but don't let your guys get into trouble. You know what I mean? Kind of, you want to set them up for success, not set your guys up for failure. If you are having a holiday party, try to make sure that there's at least a designated driver for every group. If not, maybe pay the cab fare for your guys to and from the party. That'd be awesome. If you are going to serve booze, especially if there's going to be an open bar, make sure you serve some food at least an hour before the party and make sure you have some food out while the party's happening to help absorb some of that alcohol. Guys, if you're driving home from those parties, even if you're not drunk, remember the cops are out in force right now. And if you're accused of DWI or DUI, don't despair. There's still hope even if you failed those tests the police gave you. The police science isn't always accurate, and attorney Gary Trichter is a specialist, a DWI specialist right here in Houston, who's experienced in telling the truth about those tests. He's experienced in taking these cases to trial, not just going in, pleading guilty, and hoping for the best. If you failed the breath or blood test, whether it's DWI or DUI, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now at 713-524-1010 or visit him online at TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Behold the King.
King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a minute. You know what that song means. Time for Houston Chronicle columnist Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon, assuming he's actually there today. What's up, Jerome? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good.
Barely hear you, though.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
It's your new system. No big deal. I'll survive. You never say anything that important. I mean, when I'm on now.
Right.
Because... the other, you know, 3 hours and 50 minutes, gold.
Thank you.
Except it's only 2 hours.
You like those Pajamagram commercials or what?
They're smoking hot.
That's right. You know? That's right.
So, hey, how are you preparing for your first Christmas as a father? Is this doing some serious damage to your bankroll?
Not just a bankroll. It's the hunting stuff down that I haven't had to do in a while. I mean, I've always been a guy. I've got an 18-under rule, so I got 8 brothers and sisters. So I've bought stuff for nieces and nephews pretty regularly. But, yeah, this and I'm being just a total idiot on. It's I'm going way overboard. It's totally unnecessary. They just want me. They want a few things, but they get way more than I should be giving them. But that's okay. It's the first one, you know.
Spoiled ass kids.
That's what you do, man.
That's what you do.
Yeah,
I got two of them myself.
But I mean, I'm being idiots. I'm driving to Baytown. I'm ordering stuff, and I'm like, man, it's only $60 to get it shipped overnight.
Oh, jeez.
Go for it, man. Go for it. It's just idiotic. I'm ashamed of myself.
You know, if they're into sports betting, I have a great gift for them.
not just yet.
All right. Well, Jerome, let's talk about your Texans a little bit. They get a big win with Brandon Weeden at quarterback. And I know you keep track of what's going on over there. Do you think there's any chance we see Brian Hoyer this week, that he gets out of the concussion thing?
I think there is. I mean, it's the easy thing to say, you know, he shouldn't play. But for what he's done in his career, for the limited success that he's had, I'm pretty sure when the doctors clear him, he'll be ready to go. And, you know, Weeden did okay, but you can't tell me that even if the doctors don't clear Hoyer until Thursday or Friday, that he's not far better prepared to play for this Texans team. And the last thing you want to do is have a guy who's ready to play, who's cleared, and he says he's ready to go, and you make the conscious decision to sit him, you know, and you can act like you're doing it because of the concussion movie coming out or whatever, but your players are going to know, oh, you're sitting Hoyer because you know we're going to beat the hell out of the Titans, who are just terrible. And those are the kind of times you show up at games and get upset. I mean, and I'm shocked that Vegas has it. I glanced at it yesterday. I haven't seen it, but it was only 4 points. That's freaking amazing. I mean, this game should not be close.
Yeah, and I mean, what do the Titans have to play for? They want the number one pick, and they're sitting Mariota. I think you could play quarterback and win that game by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, and I expect them to go in there and crush them. I mean, they have a lot to play for. The Titans don't. As I wrote today, I mean, it's Houston's ex. They can change their name, move to another city, and buy some new clothes. But we know a bad Oilers team when we see one. The Texans are playing a bad Oilers team on Sunday.
Is there concern that maybe, you know, the Texans and making the playoffs, and is there concern that maybe we can be fooled into thinking and fans and, you know, we could be fooled into thinking that this is actually a good team and they don't need to make sweeping changes in the offseason?
It wouldn't be a concern. It's not a concern for me because they ain't fooling me. Okay. They're 7-7. And they're a hard-earned, well-deserved 7-7. Put it like this. They've been in the league 13 seasons before this year. 7-7 would not have won, you know, 7 losses would not have won the division in any of those years. 7-7 would not be in first place in any of those years. It'd be in third place most of those years. This team is not good. You know, Rick Smith has put together a roster that was a quality roster, a talented roster with some depth and, yeah, there were some holes in the roster 3 or 4 years ago, but that's, you're going to have some holes on every team. But right now, honestly, you look at the roster, what position do they not need a player? Cornerback and deep snapper. That's about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and but more importantly, and we heard Bob McNair say this last week, that they, you know, getting a quarterback in the offseason's a priority. Is that just lip service, or do they realize that, yeah, 8-8 or 9-7 winning this division, you've still got to go fix some things?
Yeah, no, it's not just lip service, but the problem is you're not. What are the odds of you finding a quarterback who is better than Andrew Luck? And, of course, if Andrew Luck was playing with the Colts, we wouldn't even be having this conversation, because the Texans would be eliminated probably by now from the playoffs, even with the poor start the Colts had. What quarterback are they going to find is better than the high, you know, ceiling glimpses we got of Mariota? What quarterback's going to be better than what we've seen on the high end from Blake Bortles? And a little tidbit for you, Blake Bortles, before last Sunday's game, had thrown for more touchdowns this season than any Texans quarterback has ever had in a season. The Texans almost definitely will be in last place at the quarterback position. We already know that the other positions are only good enough to be 7-7-ish. It will be interesting. You know, you can do a reclamation project and turn a Colin Kaepernick or RG3 back into what they were, and you'll feel a whole heck of a lot better. But you still have a 500 at best roster, a 500 roster with a weak schedule. That's not particularly good news for a team. How are you going to convince people that you're better than you are when you are what you are? But then again, you know what? I say all of that and I dog them this whole time. I think they'll win a playoff game. Yep. You get a game in Reliance Stadium against a team where their defense can dominate them. They can mess around and win a playoff game. I would not be shocked by that.
I mean, the way the Chiefs have been playing, the way the Steelers have been playing, you really think they could beat those teams?
No, the way the Chiefs have been playing. They couldn't beat the Steelers. The Chiefs matchup, though, I wouldn't expect the Chiefs to come in here and roll them at all. No, this Texans defense can stop the Chiefs.
Oh, I agree. I just don't know if the Texans offense can score on them.
Oh, no, they can't. No, that's not the point.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, they need to win 10-7.
Okay.
I mean, that is no question about it. And even to be a little more, not sound so homerish on that, even though I know it's not, they need to figure out how to get the best out of one-armed J.J. Watt. And that's something that they have enough time to figure out and be able, maybe they don't have to move him or need to move him around as much, because with that club, he can't do some of the things that he normally does. But yeah, you get a Chiefs team in here and a rocking loud as all, you know what, Reliance Stadium, they won't score more than 13 points. The Texans just have to squeeze out 14. I could see it happening.
On J.J. Watt, somebody asked us this the other day, and I don't know the answer to it, and maybe you don't either, but I'll ask, is do we know a time frame when he's going to get that damn thing off of his hand? Because it sure is hampering him.
No, we don't. I don't. I mean, and I don't think nobody does, because I haven't seen it being reported pretty much, and it's, you know, we don't know, or no one's really said how he broke the hand, or what is broken in it, how many bones in it, you know, how significant is it? I mean, and that's, you know, it must be pretty serious to have the club on and not have the fingers free and things of that nature. You just don't know. And it's not going to heal in season. Most likely it just seems that way. But, you know, what is there? 2 more weeks, and then so it's 3 weeks before a playoff game. I just maybe by then it'll be able to be, you'll be able to have a less restrictive cast on the hand for the game. Or obviously he'll shoot it up and play with whatever pain he takes. But the issue probably is more about re-injuring it or making it worse or doing some kind of permanent damage. And that's why you have to protect it, not so much about the pain.
We got this question earlier today. We'll ask you. Are you starting to buy into the Rockets a little bit?
As much as I had bought into them before the season, I mean, they are who they are. I mean, they have they haven't done anything to be all that particularly impressive. They're still not a great defensive team. They've had a couple of better moments than they were, but they were so awful to start. No, I'm not buying into them because they still haven't gotten to do what they should have been able to do from day one. So they still need to improve and continue to improve to do any damage. And so, no, until I can see a lot longer stretch of decent defensive play, until I can see some consistency, and until they start hitting some shots, no, not at all. But they shot so poorly early on, you got to expect they're going to have a couple of weeks where they just light it up. And then I'll be on saying, oh, yeah, well, now that's the team we expected to see.
Jerome, do you think it's not what are the odds Wednesday, but put some odds on Dwight Howard being traded and Ty Lawson being traded before the deadline?
Ty Lawson, 80% being traded, 19% being cut, just total leave. Dwight Howard, at best, it's 50-50, because I still think that they want to make a run with this group and see what they can do and with this team playing like they're supposed to play. So I think they'll give it that shot, because we're not talking about a guy who's disgruntled to where he's walking around being a problem. He's walking around trying to be a solution, at least. And as long as you have a guy like that who is a difference maker and he's trying to be a solution, you give it a run. If, you know, if a guy like him doesn't want to be here and is, you know, acting upset about it and sulking, you got to get rid of him. They don't have to get rid of him. They're going to lose him, but they don't have to get rid of him. That's the difference.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle columnist, joins us every week. Jerome, have a great Christmas, and don't feel bad about spoiling those kids. Just keep doing it.
but I was the one going around dogging people for doing what I'm doing. It's so sad.
You know what? I'll put together a poker game soon. You can win the money back to pay for it all.
I need it. All right, bro.
All right, man. We'll see you soon. All right.
All right, guys. Got to tell you about PajamaGram.com. Christmas right around the corner, and there's ladies in your life you need to get something for. Maybe your daughter, maybe your mom, maybe your sister, maybe your significant other. There's something for everyone on your list at PajamaGram.com. There's even dude stuff on there. I would love to see Fred in a hoodie footy. They've got every style you can imagine, from sexy to cozy. Whatever you're in need for, they've got it there at PajamaGram.com. Including that hoodie footy, which is one of the most popular styles. It combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas. They also have the sexy midnight fantasy. If you're looking for something to set the mood a little bit more, you can get the sweet and sexy gift set, which includes both of those, the cozy and the sexy, for just $60 off at PajamaGram.com right now. You don't have to wrap, because every PajamaGram includes free gift packaging. Christmas delivery is still guaranteed, guys. Visit PajamaGram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Make it a hoodie footy holiday. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. Tune in at 7 tonight for Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis. In case you missed Soccer Matters last night, Soccer Matters again tonight. Matters every night so far. Bet he'll be talking about Sepp Blatter blaming the U.S. for his suspension. Just guessing. It's America's fault. Before we get to the gym of the day, Sonny on Facebook asks, what should the Cowboys do with what looks like to be a pretty decent pick? I think it depends on where they finish. If they have a shot at Goff or Paxton Lynch, I think there's a lot worse things they could do than draft that guy and let him sit for a couple years and develop behind Tony Romo, because Romo's going to be 37 years old. He's coming off multiple injuries. And, yeah, I think those are the two best guys in the draft. If you can get one of them and you don't have to rush him in, and hopefully you don't need him for 2 years, I think that'd be a good move. But, yeah, it just depends on where they're picking. I mean, they could be anywhere from fifth to who knows. I mean, it's hard to tell. If you get closer to the back end of that top 10, then I think you add another defensive player. You know, I think they can always use help on defense. But as far as if
defensive tackle specifically,
yeah.
I mean they need some help on defense in the front. They need linebacking help.
I think another corner wouldn't be a bad idea either. I mean, there's plenty of things that.
Well, you've got a team that's built for running the football.
Yeah.
And listen, you've had some good fortune, and Darren McFadden has lasted the season. But do you believe that's going to happen next year?
No,
I don't possibly.
I don't know that I would draft either one of those guys that high though, that are available.
Right.
I mean, I think you need to get a running back at some point. But if we're just talking about the top pick,
yeah,
I would say if you're in position to get one of those two quarterbacks, I'd think long and hard about that. And if they don't, I just boost the defense and make sure I get a running back in the top three rounds.
Yeah, you need a running back and at least like an heir apparent quarterback would be a nice thing to get. And I think, you know, for that team, if they were to take a guy like Cody Kessler or Trayvon Boykin in the mid rounds, I think there's worse things that you could do. You know?
But if you are in position to get one of those two big dogs, I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah.
If you judge them worthy of that, I think, yeah, they're going to go higher than they should, but that's the reality of quarterbacks. And somebody's asking if the Titans get the top pick, who do they get? Any stand? I mean, we talked about that in the first hour. I think, you know, if you're the Titans, you want to trade down and get more players, or you take Bosa or Tunsil, and I think you're going to be happy with either one.
I think the deal with Romo is, though, I mean, he's your starting quarterback for probably the next 2 years for sure.
Yeah.
If not three. Because even if you cut him in 2018, that's $9 million in dead money.
When he's almost 40 years old, though. And that's the thing.
Well, he's 35 now. He'll
be 38.
He'll be 38 at 2018.
He's an old 35. I mean,
right.
He's got a lot of mileage on him.
So, I mean, he's definitely there for 2016 and 17.
Yeah.
Because the money doesn't allow you to have anyone else there. So, it makes me wonder if this is the year that they should be using a first-round pick on a quarterback is what I'm saying.
Well, as much as he's been hurt, I don't think it's a bad idea. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I'm not sure what I think of the Netherlands. There's a lot of weird things that come out of there. Some of them are very cool. Some of them are kind of eyebrow-raising. One of the things that is legal there is prostitution.
Okay.
I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah, the red light district.
I have not been to the Netherlands, so I can't tell you. But
there's a lot of stuff that's legal.
Okay.
You know, it that isn't legal here.
All right. Well,
you know,
I'm all for legalizing everything for the most part. But
I'm with you as well. I think that's the way it should be.
Well,
I mean, Amsterdam is that's a model city, in my opinion, for what what we should all strive to be.
Well, apparently, if you need driving lessons now in the Netherlands, you can trade sex for driving lessons.
Oh,
apparently,
it's just like a currency there.
Yeah, there was a. Actually, it is because one of the government, one of the conservatives, said was describing such transactions as illegal prostitution and called for them to be banned. Argued that student drivers would not have the requisite escort license, so they would not be declaring any sexual acts for tax purposes. But the country's Minister of Infrastructure and the Environment—that's a very weird one—said that. While it might be undesirable, it's not against the law, provided both parties are over 18 and the instructor suggests it. If the transaction were reversed, with the students proposing personal services, then it would be unlawful. So if the instructor says...
So the instructor says you can pay by cash, credit, or sex.
Yes. Then they can do it. But if the student says... I know, this is very... Like I said, there's some cool things...
You would think it'd be the other way around. Like,
yeah.
Normally... In a normal student-teacher relationship, you know, the teacher asking for the sex would be worse.
Right. Well, said it's not about offering sexual activities for payment, but offering a driving lesson. It is important that the initiative lies with the driving instructor and focuses on offering lessons with the payment provided in sexual acts. When a sexual act is offered as commercial business, that is prostitution. Weird. It's very strange, but like I said, they have some cool things there, and they have some things where you just kind of shake
very
your head.
Interesting, yeah.
But for the record, if you need driving lessons in the Netherlands and your teacher suggests it, then you can ride your way to a license.
That is interesting news.
I thought you might appreciate that, and that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, when we come back, we've got another hour. I think we may just keep this thing totally random today.
Okay.
I've got plenty of stuff to get to, but we'll just see where it takes us. By the way, Akron recovers the onside kick, so they will cover against Utah State.
Yes.
1 minute to go, and I think we're both on Toledo tonight. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a little action for you. All right. This was the first bowl game I bet on. Was Akron today.
My first one's Toledo.
Okay.
So, and I wish I would have bet Akron. I told you I was planning on doing it and then didn't do it.
It was a total accident that I remembered to do it because I decided Sunday night I was probably going to play the game, and I was messing around with some horses on Bovada today, and it popped up like 10 minutes before the game started that, oh, this bet on bowl game. Oh, heck yeah, I wanted to bet that. Boom. So thank you for the reminder, guys. Otherwise, I would never have gotten it. All right. If you want to watch bowl games, you want to watch the NFL Sunday, you want to watch your Rockets, great place to do it if you're on the north side. Tupelo Sports Bar and Grill, 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. And Chip and the gang out there do such a fantastic job. And if you haven't been out there, man, great food. The menu is not a sports bar menu, man. This is real quality food. Great beer selection. You can take the kids. It's just a great, great setup there. And you're going to feel at home, man. It is really the kind of place that just has the perfect atmosphere for a sports fan. And guess what's coming up? By the way, they've still got today and tomorrow where they'll wrap your gifts for you. If you bought gifts for somebody and you haven't wrapped them, like all those gifts Jerome bought, you should go to Tupelo, sit down, have a drink. They'll wrap them for him. You have 2 more days to do that. And coming up on New Year's Day, if you got a hangover, no problem. Shake it off at Tupelo's with $3 mimosas and Bloody Marys, $2 domestic pints, and a special New Year's Day hangover brunch menu. So they're going to have a hangover brunch. You can check out the college football, and there's all kinds of cool stuff. Go check them out. Love those guys. We're going to be out there again soon. It's Tupelo Sports Bar and Grill, 2907 Rayford Road in Spring, tupelos.com.
This is The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.